the chains and they end up punting. If it, to me, number one rule of play calling on offense is if the defense isn't stopping it, you keep calling it until they do. And they finally got the ground game going and they went away from it.
Well, to your point though, Reed, when it's second and three for Tennessee, it's not really second and three, it's second and eight because they have to stay out of the shotgun, in the shotgun the whole entire time. So to gain 5 yards, you really have to gain 8 yards because you're starting in the shotgun. You're not helping
your guy. I think they just gained an average of 8 or 9 the last 4 carries, though.
Well, yes. Guys, hang in there.
865-200-5402. Man.
Wesley Walls is in the College Football Hall of Fame.
We got to take
a
breath.
I just saw that. That's unreal.
We got to take a breath every once in a while here.
He was okay.
Can you believe? Can you believe?
Treon Harris in the College Football Hall of Fame. If those are the criteria.
Oh, that was.
Hey, you guys can miss. You guys can rip Neon Treon all you want. Go ahead, Doug.
That was one of my worst fears of the game, is that they were going to get Driscoll out of there.
Sure.
And some freshman who didn't know three plays was going to come in there and just run around. As soon as I saw him warming up.
We're back to the kid from Kentucky again. The kid from Kentucky knew 5 plays or 6 plays. What was his name?
They could have had
Reed, do you remember that? The kid from Kentucky.
Oh, my gosh. He was a converted tight end. Yeah. I can't remember.
That will never, ever be. You can live to be 130, and you won't see anything stranger than that. Today we – oh! Ole Miss just had an interception. Ooh, midfield.
You can't blame DT Shackle for dropping that, Tony. He's entering his 18th year at Ole Miss. I mean, he's got to be on the downside of his career.
Well, you talk about a guy that's been indoctrinated in how these Ole Miss Alabama games
Johnny
go.
Johnny Majors recruited him to Tennessee.
Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. I know it's been a painful day when two people on Twitter have referenced wanting Lane Kiffin back. Back to the phones we go. Oh, you know it's painful when we have people calling for Lane Kiffin. Who, by the way, for those who think that
Dave
we're
going,
let me say this: for those who think we're going to Ole Miss and are winning that game, if you've been watching what I've been watching, somebody, I'm telling you, if we don't start figuring out where blitzes are coming from, our quarterbacks are going to get hurt when you play Ole Miss and Alabama. These are two teams up front that flat out fly to the football. Reed, am I lying? I mean, those were two very good defensive teams.
And Tony, I know, look, I've been saying that all season, even after Tennessee outperformed expectations last week at Georgia, that Ole Miss's defense, I mean, their offense may be hit and miss. Their defense is one of the best in the country, hands down. You've seen what they've shut down Amari Cooper today. He's lit up college football so far, and they've shut him down. That Ole Miss defense is for real. And if you think the Vol offense looked bad today, I mean, wait till Oxford in a couple of weeks, folks. That Florida defense played pretty well today, but the Vol offense really helped them out. That defense isn't near as good as Tennessee made them look. Ole Miss is better. I mean, they're unbelievable. And that's going to be a tough two-game stretch for Tennessee. You nailed it, Tony.
Back to the phones we go. Smartway Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello, who's this?
Eric.
Hey, Eric. Welcome.
Hey, I have a few scheming questions, and then I will just kind of want to talk about being the emotion of the fan today. The first scheming question, it seemed like early on in the game before the freshman came in for Florida and kind of gave a spark to the Florida team that we were kind of having our way throwing the ball down the field, surprisingly. You know, there's a pass to Pick Howard there early on, and we never really went back to that. Can you explain why we don't throw it down the field, at least stretch them out a little bit more? Is it doing that dink and dunk Raiders 0-1 type of offense the entire game?
It's perplexing. I mean, again, you know, Mike Bajakian is just, it seems like he's a guy who throws it when all logic says you ought to run it, and he runs it when all logic says you ought to throw it. If something's working, he goes away from it. If something is clearly not working, he sticks with it. I mean, I think Reed, I think you tweeted during the game that the first down runs were killing Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
What is the old saying about what is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I mean,
right.
I don't know, Eric. I don't know what to tell you.
And you know, it's not just that. But, like, even last week with Georgia, all right, third down and short, you know, maybe even third down and long. You know they're coming for you. They're lined up. They got, like, seven in a box. You can see them right over damn Matt Crowder. They're coming right after you. Why don't you throw an effing slant over the middle when there's nobody over the middle? You know, there's no linebackers coming. That happened at least twice in this Florida game where they emptied the box, and you don't have Pig Howard just running a quick slant over the middle. It's a quick throw, and there's nobody there. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, listen, my whole perception of calling plays is Madden 15, okay? I'll admit that, all right? I don't have any coaching experience, but you can see it plain as day on the television. Am I wrong?
No, I think there are plenty of Madden 15 All-Stars who could have called a better game than Mike Bajakian did today.
I will say this. I mean, I don't want to, like, carry the water for the coaching staff. And that was a poorly called game all around. But a lot of those, Worley is not accurate down the field. He's not. Now, middle of the field, they've got to utilize that more. We talked about it last week, Tony and Russell, after the Georgia game. I don't know why they didn't target the middle of the field more. But down the field, I was keeping track. I didn't get to tally it today. But headed into this game, Tennessee was something like 2 of 23 on passes more than 25 yards downfield. That's awful. And this offense can't afford to waste it down. And there was a play, I think, early in the second half, Pig Howard was running right down the seam. He was wide open, guys. It would have been probably a touchdown if Worley hits him in stride. He underthrows him, throws him about 4 or 5 yards to the sideline, too. And it's left the Florida DB get back in the play, and that DB ends up breaking up the pass. I mean, plays like that are the difference in the game.
But you know what? In all fairness to Worley, Malone dropped the ball earlier. That's a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. He did.
You had another couple of drops as well that didn't help things. So it's one of those things where you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't, because here you are on here saying, stretch it out, throw the ball downfield more. And the time they did that is when the quarterback got hit when it was 9-0. And that's the only way Florida could have gotten back in the game there, was to give them life. So in one sense, I hear what you're saying. And in another way, I sit here and go, but wait a second. When we do that, our quarterbacks, no matter whether it's Worley or Peterman so far to play this year, don't see blitzes when they're coming. Don't play with a lot of pocket presence in terms of where the blitz is coming from. Either throw to that side or something quick, as you were saying. I mean, it really is kind of a mess for Tennessee offensively right now. Because on top of that, I factor the lack of instinct from the quarterback position with untimely drops from the wide receiver, with a coordinator that seems to be bass ackwards in terms of when to do what, with an offensive line that doesn't protect. So other than that, I'm sure we're going to put a lot of points up when we play the likes of Ole Miss and Alabama.
Right. And listen, you know, there are days like today where I wish I wasn't born into being a Tennessee fan.
Right.
Because having to be put up with – and East Tennessee Florida fans are the worst, because they're the fakest people ever seen on the face of this planet. And we had a chance to bury them 6 feet into the ground and end their miserable lives, and we didn't do it. And I think that's what probably frustrates me the most. Now, what year was it when James Stewart fumbled the ball on the one-yard line and we ended up tying Alabama 17? 93. My father, okay, we were living in Charleston, South Carolina at the time. At that point, we hadn't beaten Alabama in 10 years. My father was so irate at that game because it was so Vols to do that he took all of his Tennessee stuff in the backyard and he burned it. And he was fed up. The only thing he couldn't burn was his bowling ball because it wouldn't melt.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
And that night he told me, he says, son, they will never win a national championship in my lifetime. I bet you $100. Of course, in 98, he lost that bet. And he was happy to pay that bet. And of course, it was in the next year, the year after that, that, you know, we destroyed them. But I'm at the point where he is now. I mean, I was bawling my eyes out in 1993 watching my father just give up as a fan, and I'm there. You know, and people want to compare us to how Ole Miss was last year. Ole Miss went into Texas and steamrolled them. This team, this Tennessee team, won't do anything like that.
No, not yet. Now, maybe in a couple more recruiting classes, it may happen. Let me say this to you, though, about if you have a meltdown moment like your dad. Here's a difference, though. Yours will be on YouTube 15 minutes later, and we'll all get to enjoy it. Because if I could see your dad try to go back and relight the bowling ball, you talk about a classic moment in Tennessee sports history that'll never be shared by any of the living fans. Man, you're right. Blessed to have seen that. Trying to melt a bowling ball, that's pretty all-time as far as I'm concerned.
Right. It's always been a fun thing to reflect on that. But, you know, I think at the time my father was 35 years old, and I'm 31 now, and I'm there. Yeah. I pretty much had been sipping on Jack Daniels the entire game. I was so pissed off. I posted probably something on Facebook I shouldn't have, and I went to bed. I took a nap, and I woke up probably about an hour ago and seeing just the reaction of that. I'm not going to watch another game for the rest of the year, but I'm not going to be as emotionally invested as I was today.
Thank you, my friend. It's real difficult to get destroyed. The thing about today, Reed, that wouldn't have bothered me is if you lose to a good Florida team, like you lost to a pretty good Georgia team. They're not great, but they're good.
Right.
You lost to a very good Oklahoma team. Mm-hmm. They border on great. I could take that. This Florida team sucks.
They do?
That's what they do. They suck. Now, we're not very good, but we're comparable to them.
I mean, Tennessee, I'm not a huge believer in Vegas point spreads or anything like that, but Tennessee should have won this football game, Tony. Same thing we talked about all week. And to the caller's point, and what a great call, by the way. That stuff you don't get anywhere else. I mean, burned all this Tennessee stuff and couldn't burn this bowling ball because it wouldn't melt. I will never forget that. And I've heard a lot, Tony, through the years of covering this team and growing up a ball fan. And that will stick with me. So great call, and love that you're doing this show for things like that. But I think you both touched on it, though, a little bit. Tennessee is extremely limited in what they can do offensively right now because of a lack of personnel. So my bottom line when I judge this staff and when I judge this team is, when does that become on the staff? When is the poor offensive line play a result of poor coaching and poor recruiting at that position? And when is poor quarterback play a result of poor coaching and poor recruiting at that position? I don't think it's right now, but if next year we're still talking about the same things, is it on the coaching staff today? I mean, that's the questions that I wrestle with.
I think the thing I'm left with that is to wonder, how would one go about melting a bowling ball?
Thanks, Dobbsy. Well, obviously, maybe we can get into that, because it sure would beat talking about this damn football game.
I'm Googling it right now.
Yeah, thank you. Melt. Everything else is online, so why not? Reed, what did you think of that drop just a few seconds ago from that Ingram kid from Ole Miss? I heard you smart when you saw that.
Yeah, that was good, Lord. I mean, that's some Tennessee versus Florida stuff, right?
That's exactly what that is. That is.
Not ready for.
We're not ready to win. Because I'll tell you what. Mississippi State went out there today, and they curb stomped somebody in their building.
That's A&M.
And you watch, Dan Mullen will be stalking the sidelines in Gainesville.
Which I hope happens because he will not win there.
I think he ends up in Gainesville. I really do.
And
he's having a weird year to get that job.
Yep. He's having the right year. He's having a hot year, and he's a weirdo, and he won't win down there.
I disagree.
Okay, you'll see.
I don't think he'll win down there either, Tony. I'm with you.
Thank you. He's a weirdo. He's not going to win down there.
He's winning at Mississippi State.
He's had one good year in 4 years, or 5 years in Mississippi State.
One good year. This is it. He's having his, and he'll get out of there.
5 years.
Yeah, 5 years.
Going to a bowl game for 5 years in a row, whatever it's been at Mississippi State this day and age, is pretty darn impressive to me.
Anthony, is that you? Did my son just say my name? I just heard my son Simon around the corner there. Let me say a word here before we go back to the phones.
So you're hearing things now.
Well, I am, and I'm starting to hallucinate.
So
I'm starting to hallucinate because you're looking like Brad Pitt. But let me say, I'm hallucinating.
Yeah.
Dalton Behring and Hydraulic has been helping me, supporting this program for years and years and years and years. And let me say this to you. I'm so proud to be affiliated with them because they are number one at what they do. They sold last year over 200,000 AC and DC hydraulic cylinders and power units. They're numero uno, ladies and gentlemen. Numero uno. And the number one source, whether you're seeking standard stock stuff off the shelf or you're going with custom hydraulic cylinders and power units, they've got you covered at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. Anything that turns as well and makes mobile components work like bearings, hoses, they have, as well as hose assemblies, fittings, couplings, and as I said, hydraulic motors and millions of bearings. Online at DaltonHydraulic.com, serving worldwide from beautiful Granger County, Tennessee, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. As we go back to our phones, Dubsy, do you believe that Alabama will win this football game facing 3rd and 9 on their own one half yard line?
Oh, absolutely. I know it. Is there any doubt?
I believe that Ole Miss will win this football game. Reed, are you with me?
Says the man who just said I look like Brad Pitt.
We just saw Tennessee choke against Florida. I mean, surely Ole Miss choke, right?
Well, of course, because they're going to give up a first down. No, they didn't. He's tackled at the 9, at the 10, right at the 10.5. Watch the spot here that Alabama gets. Nope, he's a yard short. Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome to the phone. Hello and welcome to the, what is this thing called? The Smart Way Dalton Bearing Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Tony? It's Jamie.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, right, guys, listen, I took something a little bit different away from that previous call. I know it's funny and, you know, it's kind of silly to think of somebody trying to burn their bowling ball, but I tell you what I take away from that phone call. It's just an apathetic fan. You can count me amongst them. I mean, how many more times are you going to set your feelings out there for this? Guys, you guys have admitted yourself. You say in one breath, you know, Russell, you started the show with this team, this coaching staff should turn in their checks for this week. And Tony, you said earlier in the show that Butch Jones is good Sunday through Friday. But then you both go ahead and say after that this guy's going to get it done. How can you explain that?
I didn't say he was going to get it done. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't said that either.
I said he should return his check for this week.
I said the future looks very bright because he's bringing in talent and it's about players, but I've always said about him and every coach, let's see when he gets his ingredients if he can bake a cake. That's all.
Well, I mean, that's fair. That's fair, Tony. I'll give you that. I mean, but you will have to admit, people like me can see a little bit sooner, you know, what a football coach is.
You
want to
fire every coach, Jamie?
Hang on.
You want to fire every single coach on our campus?
Coach, who?
You do. You who?
No, name me a coach I want fired, Tony.
You've wanted every coach.
You can rip me
Jamie, outside of Bruce Pearl, in my dealings with you in 10 years, you've wanted every coach fired outside of Bruce Pearl. And that's only because he won right away.
Okay,
or you'd have been all over him.
Name one coach I wanted fired.
Well, the rest of them have sucked. Okay, all right. Congratulations. Take a bow.
Do you want Butch Jones fired after today?
Yeah, do you want Butch Jones fired? Are you ready to say he's not going to do the job?
No, I mean, no, Tony, but I mean,
but you can see. You're prescient. So you're prescient. So is he going to win? Is Butch Jones going to win? You're prescient. You can see before any of us.
Yeah, no, he's not going to win.
He's not going to win.
I'll tell you why.
So then why don't we fire him? Then let's do the inevitable immediately, Jeremy Foley. That's his saying.
So Jeremy Foley's an idiot for doing the inevitable immediately?
People like you. You know you ought to call yourself the prophet, Jamie. You're the prophet.
You may be right. You may be right. I'll acquiesce. If you can tell me a coach that I wanted fired that didn't need firing, I'll shut up about firing.
Jamie,
coaches.
You want to fire all of them, but with Mike Hamilton's hires,
well,
the baseball coaches are terrible. Konzo Martin was terrible.
Was he not?
Buzz Peterson played buzz ball. There's no doubt. Derek Dooley, I would have fired him after about 4 games, if
so
not 4 weeks.
Like so you're ripping me for being just like you.
No, I'm ripping you because you're already ready to pass judgment on Butch Jones when literally 2% of the precincts are reporting and you're ready to call an election.
No, Tony, I never said anything like that. I just want to know why you guys think he's going to make it whenever you also said that he can't coach.
Why do you? No, nobody said that he couldn't coach.
Make it.
And nobody said he was going to. Okay. Nobody said
you
he was going to make
Russell
it.
Russell with they should turn in their paychecks for the week. Tony, you said he's a very good coach from Sunday through Friday. I didn't say those things. You guys said those things.
I think talent wins football games. Yep. Period. End of sentence. I don't think he's a great game manager from the time I watched him at Cincinnati. No, I do not.
Okay, well, you also thought that talent won games in 2010, but Tony, with all due respect, you've been wrong about these things.
And Jamie, you're always right, because as we heard, people like you can see through them. But here's the problem. People like me have a show, and people like you just got hung up on. And that's a problem. That's a problem.
Oh,
that's
man.
A problem. But that's just a small problem, Jamie.
I wonder if he saw that coming.
People like me, Jamie, have been doing this 20 years. People like you are off the air right now. Let's go back to the phones.
Oh,
865-200-5402. Hello and welcome.
Hi, Tony. You
hey. There? Yeah, Jamie. I mean, yeah, who's this?
Hey, this is Benny.
Hey, Benny, welcome.
Hey, man. Hey, y'all. Just wanted to call in a couple things. Number one, thank you for those tickets. That just was a blessing, and just I really appreciated getting to go today despite the outcome. And I don't know if everybody realizes. Just I mean, you know, despite the game today, just to have you in town and letting people call in is great, and then just to live in East Tennessee. Beautiful day today and a beautiful atmosphere, even though it's a crappy outcome. So
seeing all those former Vols in that Vol you know. Walk today, just building on what you said, seeing all those former Vols in that Vol walk today, seeing all those people, seeing the checkerboard deal, which I never dreamed in a million years, to be honest with you, would work.
It's beautiful.
It was absolutely amazing and well done. Seeing the complete and total buy-in from our fan base to the point where tickets were absolutely going way, way above face value. Seeing Ole Miss tie the score now, pending the extra point at 17. Seeing Tony Robinson over there just being mobbed by people, Benny. There was a lot of great fellowship today in my corner of the world. And thank you for reminding me of that. I need to hear things like that.
Yeah, man. And we got the... sit by a couple there. She worked at Fish, their fish pantry, and was talking to her a little bit about that. So that was just great. And Tony, that's the thing. You know, I've been in Knoxville for 14 years. I'm from Ohio. I'm from Dayton, Ohio. Buckeye fan. I've caught, you know, been around a while. But Tony, when I moved down here, everybody said you will become a Tennessee Vol fan. Just end a sentence. That's it. And Tony, I said, it's not possible. You know, I'm a Buckeye fan. You know, that's where I'm from. That's my roots, and that's how it is. But Tony, 14 years into this, it gets into you. It's the family, Tony. It's the way people treat each other. It's a community. And there's nothing else like it that I've experienced. That game over there today, those fans, Tony, for four quarters, yelled their guts out when they're on defense. They were with every play, and to still have that result and still with 30 seconds left or whatever it was, that stadium, you know, some of the blue hairs had hit the exits by then, Tony, but most of the people were still there. And when that fumble come out, which mm-hmm. ended up not being a fumble, but was they called offsides, Tony, that crowd went crazy. They still believe they could win, Tony. And so that's to me personally, you know, that's what's converted me. That's what's made me a Tennessee Vol fan. And so again, I just appreciate you. I appreciate your show. I appreciate just the Vol. volunteer family down here.
Reed, thank you so much. Reed, you're like I am. You love stuff like that, don't you?
Absolutely, and I was critical a little bit of the. I thought the fans could be louder a little bit today, but they did. They stayed till the end when it looked bleak, and when that fumble happened, and the balls were offsides, that place erupted. And Tony, I just want to piggyback on that. I'm maybe it's your therapy. Maybe you're the therapist of East Tennessee and of Vol Nation. But I feel better after being on here for a little while. I do. So appreciate it.
You know. maybe I'm wrong here. Why are they calling a penalty on that Ingram kid? I know he pulled his helmet off there. There's 5:29 to go in a 17-17 football game. Can they look the other way one time? Did that impact the game?
They got the
That's a terrible call.
Official got the buzz in from Slive in his ear. Throw the flag.
I mean, Reed, do you agree with me? Are we going to decide a damn football game on that? And then the kickoff goes to the 17.
Oh,
and now Alabama just fumbled the ball. Get on it. Get on it, baby.
That's Ole Miss ball.
Ole Miss, get on that ball.
That's Ole Miss ball.
Put your signal. Wow. Show me the signal, baby. Sign in, stranger. Ain't going to do it without the fez on.
Somebody fight Harvey Updike.
Come on, brother. I'm going back to the phone. Reed, can you stay with us or are you burned out?
No. I'm game. I'm here.
We're just getting warmed up, Reed.
I'm giving my all.
I'm calling
fifth quarter right here.
I'm calling Bino back next hour. I just can't even believe that we're in an era where you take your helmet off after scoring a touchdown to tie game at 17 with 5 minutes left. You're running off the field. You're not in the end zone. You're running off the field. You pull your helmet off. You turn around and wave at those obnoxious Alabama people. Jeez Louise.
Well, that was karma right there. Bad call. Goes against Ole Miss. They get the ball and a fumble.
What did John Lennon say? Instant karma going to get you, son?
Going to hit you right in the face.
Going to hit you right in the face. Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome. Yeah, who's this?
Hello?
Yeah, hey, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Jeff from South Carolina. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, it's a real honor to talk to you. Welcome.
Good. Hey, I was just calling in. I listened to Bino's segment earlier, and I just got to say I agree with him wholeheartedly. I understand it's one thing to have a philosophy, and I think that's fine to employ that philosophy when you've got the horses to do it. But in this case, we don't have the skill to run that type of offense. And I agree with him. We've got a downhill back. We've got a pocket passing quarterback. We've got a young offensive line, and trying to run these zone schemes, it's just not working. And I guess my thing is, you know, why not adapt and play to your strengths versus, you know, trying to force something? It's like putting a square peg in a round hole. And then I also got to come to the defense of Worley. I think he has enough arm strength. I think he throws with accuracy. I think the beating he's starting to take over the last few games showed up today. And that last interception, He threw it too quick. He didn't let the play develop. He got rid of it too quick, and I think he started going gunshot.
Anybody jump in?
Doesn't he have to though? When we talk about the slow developing plays, and I mean it's hard for me to blame him for wanting to get rid of the ball as quickly as possible.
You know what I'd be saying over there, South Carolinian, my buddy. I'd be saying this in back of my mind. I'd be going 1, 2, 3, hospital. I mean, that's what it is when you play behind our offensive line. That's why I don't understand when you have a 9-0 lead, that, what he did there. You got to know, hey, if I hold the ball here, this is a turnover. Even if I didn't think that I have backside pressure, I've got to get it out. I've got to get it away. And the one thing he did today was he held the football too much, which is what bad Worley does. Good Worley gets rid of the ball. Bad Worley holds the football.
I agree with you 100%. I agree, but I don't think he is the problem.
We're not playing
to his strengths. I mean, why don't you stick it in the running back's gut where, like you said, he's lined up eight yards behind, right next to the quarterback. He can't get ahead of steam. You know, everybody knows Worley's not going to run the ball. You know, like I said, line up in the pistol, put a two backs back there. You know, do something different because it does not work. It's like I said, square peg, round hole, recognize personnel that you have and then try to utilize their strengths, and we're not doing that. And that's the problem I have with Bacheki. That's good coaching. You just don't come in with a system philosophy and just try to shove it in there. You adapt to it until you can run your philosophy full speed. That's good coaching. That's what you see the good coaches do.
Well, I'm going to go back to this, and I'm not picking on Butch Jones. I'm really not. But I'm not a mouthpiece either. I'm not a coach worshiper. A guy that I absolutely despise in Urban Meyer knew in his tenure that he had no shot with Chris Leak playing for him, and he completely modified his offense.
There you go.
And by the way, they won a national championship. Now, I'm not saying Tennessee's national championship worthy. I think that's a silly thing. But that is just absurd, isn't it?
Yep. Well, and, here's the other thing, too. And this goes back to the Georgia game. It's not capitalizing. I mean, we beat everything to death on today with the interceptions. But we did that in the Georgia game, too. We got short field position on turnovers several times last week and came out with nothing. We've got to start converting when things happen good for us, and we're just not doing it. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you, I'm frustrated just like everybody else with the play calling. And to me, that was the difference in the game today, is the mismanagement throughout. And again, I'm not throwing Bush Jones under the fuss. I think they can get it done, but they've got to change their philosophy a little bit.
No question. And I appreciate your call over there. Thank you, man, for listening to us.
Thank you.
We have choices in life. You chose to stay with us this evening as a touchdown for Ole Miss. By the way, Dubsy, it is now 23,
right.
Is pending the extra point, 24-17. Ole Miss got away with something there, Dubs. Fill the listener in that might be driving home as to what they just did.
You talk about the Wildcat before
yes.
that?
Yes, describe. Second down and 10 from the 12-yard line, and what'd they do?
They nearly outthink themselves. They put in a big guy to run the Wildcat, and he was going to throw it. I mean, it was almost it felt like he was getting set to fumble. And they're lucky it just ended up being about a 2 or 3 yard loss. But they come back and throw the touchdown here the very next play from about on 3rd and 10 from the 12. So
865-200-5402 is the number again. 865-200-5402. We're well into hour number 4 here. If you want to get on with us on the smart way, Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. I know that tonight I'm sleeping on something from the bed store, and I cannot wait to get to it. There's something about this evening, though, that tells me that I'm going to need a sleep aid, because what Florida did today just kind of stays with you, and it's hard to close your eyes and not picture what Florida did. But when I finally do get off to sleep, Simmons Beauty Rest is a great choice. Also, the Serta Eye Comfort Tempur-Pedic mattresses. They've got the biggest selection in our area of those three. And the bed store is now, with 8 Knoxville locations, are expanding into other markets. So if you're listening to us from around the state, and thousands of people are, on this sad Tennessee evening, I will tell you that the bed store is now looking for franchisees. Great opportunity for you. Might be a dream job. The bed store. Check them out online at bedstore.com. Hugh Freeze proving that high school coaches can survive. And there's a guy here in town, Dubsy, who called him a women's basketball coach or whatever it is. Let me tell you something.
Missed the extra point.
Women's basketball coaches. Coaching is coaching. A flag down. Please tell me that Alabama just ran into the kicker.
Personal.
Please
foul.
Tell me. Yes! I love it when Nick Saban's guys make mistakes. Oh, Mr. Perfect, do you walk on water tonight? Are you going to get out there and walk on water tonight?
Nick Saban's
are you going to get out there?
He's got a fresh coat of paint on
spackle
the old
on
noggin
him.
There.
Yep. You wonder what Nick Saban really worked. I bet he looks like Granny Clampett deep down inside when not given the opportunity. What do you think Saban
no
really?
Hair dye?
What do you think Saban really? I mean, I get color.
He probably
I'm not going to lie.
Like Bill Murray in the movie Kingpin.
Hey, you're going to get color one day.
Huh?
Reed's
going to
get color.
Me?
You got color?
Gray hair?
You no. You gonna color it one day? You gonna color?
Oh no, no.
No?
No,
I get color.
Get
with it.
No, I get color. Back to the phones. You don't believe me?
What you get? You color what?
I think you color your eyebrows.
Oh,
interesting.
Blocked it.
They blocked the damn point. I hate Ole Miss.
You know what's happened? You know what's
Ole
about
Miss
to happen?
Could screw up.
Here it
speaking
comes.
Of the bed store, Ole Miss could. Back
here
to the phones.
Comes.
I go. Hello, and who's up next with me?
Yeah, Tony?
Yes.
You just made a point there about high school coaches. It's amazing that Auburn and Ole Miss have, former high school coaches that are winning at a higher level. you know, Hugh Freeze comes in and he starts recruiting like a madman, kind of like Butch Jones. But the difference is he's winning games. His players are doing, are being coached up and winning big games. Now, I'm for Butch Jones. He does all the right things, except when it comes to winning right now. And my worry is, and even though we're recruiting at a high level, you know, how long is it going to be before these other coaches say, hey, look, you know, yeah, you know, Butch Jones is a great guy. They got a family atmosphere. But do you want to win 4 and 5 games a year, or do you want to come and play for us and play for championships? And the last thing that I'll mention to you guys before I get off here, I personally think with this loss, I personally think we're back to 4-8 and 5-7. I don't think we're going to go bowling this year until some things get straightened out. And I thought of this. I want to mention this. I don't care about redshirting Dobbs. I think you better be thinking about this year. Had you been able to bring Dobbs in just for a series, just so he could have ran the ball like Driscoll did a couple of times, he didn't have to throw the ball, you know, that would have made a big difference in this ball game. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch any more games because it's just too heart-sickening and heartbreaking to watch this.
Oh, no. Don't let it do that to you. But thank you for the call. Don't let it do that to you, man. This is not – listen, this is a process, and let's enjoy it. We only get 12 of these Saturdays a year. Man, it's okay to – and you know what? It's kind of okay to hurt because when's the last time we had any expectations around here? You know, Reed?
You're right. You're right. And again, Tony, I've said it once, but again, this hasn't changed. This game didn't change. While it's inexcusable, poorly coached, poorly executed game, that didn't change anything to me with my expectations for Butch Jones and this staff for their careers. I don't think I saw anything today that surprised me. I think they're clearly the staff to stabilize this program. I think they're clearly the staff to give Tennessee the talent it needs to win and compete for the SEC East title to get back to Atlanta. And beyond that, we'll see. We'll see. And I think it's going to be you got to enjoy, like you said, Tony. There's a lot of young talent on that team. There's going to be even more next year. This team will be more talented. I guarantee you this team will be more talented next season than it is this season. And we got to see how that plays out. But that's a positive development. If you want to take a positive out of this, that's a positive development. And we'll see how they're able to coach them up.
And Ole Miss won a rather loud 8 games in Hugh Freeze's second year. And obviously that's not going to happen here. But we knew it wasn't going to happen anyway. This guy inherited, Butch Jones inherited literally a team that's got some flaws, and their kids are trying, and I give them credit. You know, Coleman Thomas, people have cited his name so far. Back in the day, Coleman Thomas doesn't see the field for 2 years. The only guys that would have played way back when were Cozy Coleman's, who were first-day draft picks when they walked on campus. They got to play right away. And mostly everybody else at that position had to develop.
Well, let me ask this. If Dooley signs an offensive lineman or two in that class where he –
yep.
Just didn't. I mean, no superstars or anything. Just a nice 3-star prospect they can bring along. And that guy's a junior or redshirt sophomore this season. I mean, does that change? Do we win today? Did they win last week?
Maybe. I think maybe. I really do. And that's where you can point to the coaching issues on the field. I still think those are real. But that there's no denying that team is limited by factors outside of that staff's control right now. They are. And maybe next year we don't give them a pass on those things, but there's no denying that the team is headed in the right direction talent-wise. And they didn't quit. You're right. I think we're past the point of crediting them for that, but they quit under Dooley. They quit under Dooley. They quit under Kiffin, honestly, a couple games, and they quit under Fulbert. This team is still playing until the end of a game in a disheartening game today. They were there. Worley threw a terrible throw at the end. Tennessee was driving. A lot of positives for the program's direction. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out.
And like Swain said, people are going to say things on here that are, I like the umpire there picking the receiver. That's nice. And that goes for a 35-yard gain down to the 27. Oh, sure. They're 1:23 to go. Make the big play. You're winners. They're losers. Why not? Hey, Reed, and by the way, J. Daniel, 1977, he said, look, we're going to win 6 to 7 games. John, if we win 7, brother, you can come host a show. We ain't winning 7 games. He said Ole Miss won 7 last year in Freeze's second year. Look at them this year. The Dormandy kid is legit. John, I will submit to you that it's going to be very difficult for us to win not only 7 games this year, it's going to be difficult for us to win 6 games this year from here when you do the math. I mean, you just do the math. And you just have to be honest when you do the math. It's going to be difficult to do that. It just is. That said, again, I have no numerical expectations on this season. All those numerical expectations do is set us up for disappointment. And some would say, well, where are your expectations? My expectations are I want to see a team that plays clean football, that's entertaining, that doesn't quit. And so far, they're all the above on that, except for today was kind of silly. You have a 9-0 lead against a bad football team in your building going to the fourth quarter. You should win that game. You should win that game 10 out of 10 times in this league when your defense is playing like that. That's all. And I don't think that's out of bounds to say that. That's a 10 out of 10 win. You got to get that win. Back to the phones.
They called holding on Alabama.
Boy, Saban's not going to like that. That does not happen. Look at him. Look at him. He just swallowed a bitter apple. Come to think about it, he looks like he just scored a touchdown. Come to think about it, he looks like he just had sex. Come to think about it, Nick Saban always looks like that. Let's go back to our phones and grab our next caller. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Tony? How's it going today?
Hey, who's this?
Hey, man, it's Nate in Dyersburg.
Hey, Nate in Dyersburg. How you doing, buddy? I know how you're doing. Man. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I can't complain, man. I do want to say, first off, man, what an emotional game. Oh, man, when that one was over, I really wanted to go find a garbage can and just puke. And I wanted, and before I say what I got to say, you know, it was this offensive play calling, there's a lot of flaws in it today. I'm with you when you're up 9-0, I don't see why you're putting the ball in the air there. But I do want to say this, man, before our fan base, before some of us really jump on this coach and staff, don't get me wrong, I was ready for Konzo Martin to leave. But it's done been said, what ran Konzo off was fans. And I'm telling you, man, if a lot of folks, because we're going to have some other losses down the road, and if a lot of folks start jumping on this coaching staff, there's going to be a team in Michigan that I believe that comes calling for our head coach. Now, I don't believe that he's going to be their first choice, but I think they're going to come calling for our head coach. And I hope this fan base isn't the decisive, I guess you could say, what kind of swings push Jones in their direction.
Nathan, I appreciate your sentiment. Let me just share a couple things with you about Konzo Martin. Konzo Martin never liked this place. He never embraced this place. He never embraced it behind the scenes. And I'm just going to tell you that. I know. I talk to people. And you can take my word for that or not. And if Reed wants to jump in, he can fill the blanks in if he'd like to. And Dubsy, Konzo Martin was never comfortable here. This Jones guy loves this place. Mm-hmm. Now, if Michigan called him, would he listen? I think he would. But here's the thing. Michigan's not calling him. Yeah. He plays a spread offense. You see it now. He's got Michigan-type football players on this team here, and he refuses to do that. They're not going to fool with a guy like that at Michigan. Go ahead, Reed.
No, I'm sorry to cut you off, Tony. I didn't mean to. Here's the thing. Tennessee loses to Georgia. Tennessee loses to Florida 4 points. I think if Butch goes 8-4 this year, which is possible if they beat Florida and Georgia the last 2 weeks, they score 5-6 more points the last couple of weeks, I think Michigan comes calling. I think you can run off Michigan coming calling now. After losing a close game to Georgia, losing a close game to Florida, that's a tough sell to the fan base. And I thought it was real. I mean, I think he was definitely a top 6 or 7 candidate for Michigan headed into this game. Thought Tennessee would get this game, and that would remain to be true. But dropping these two, I don't think Michigan is coming calling, just speaking honestly with you there.
And Nathan, good news for you down in Dyersburg. Alabama falls today The final will be 23-17 to Ole Miss. 32 seconds left. All they got to do is snap the football. Actually, the clock's going to start. I believe the game is over.
Bama called timeout.
Okay.
Make them snap it.
So this is Nathan. I know this doesn't help us, but boy, it sure is nice to see Alabama lose.
Yeah, it's nice to see Alabama lose, but in a way, man, that Ole Miss game looks pretty ugly now. Let me say this about your. You got better inside information than I do. I'll admit that. Unlike Jamie there, I'll admit you know more than me about this kind of stuff. For one reason, you're right there with it. I'm all the way over in West Tennessee. So if Butch Jones, you know, embraces this program and all, that's great. And I hope we can hold on to him for years to come, because I think we struck a gold mine there with Butch Jones. Maybe not with, you know, some of his coordinators there, but I think with Coach Jones, we struck a gold mine with him. But I want to say something real quick, man, and I can't believe nobody's really brought it up. First of all, man, last week we've seen the drop in production on the field when our backup quarterback came in the game. You've seen how ugly it can get when Justin Worley gets injured. I think this week we've seen how ugly it can be when number one's on the sideline. Tony, that was the big difference in this game. Jalen Hurd only had 10 carries, but he ran for 40 yards. He's averaging 4 yards a carry. If Hurd rushes the ball for 20 to 25 to 30 carries a game like he has been averaging, Tony, it's a different football game, man. Marlon Lane, I don't know what's up with Marlon Lane, but the guy just ain't getting it done. And so I think that goes back to showing the drop in talent. This football team looks good when all our first stringers are on the field. But man, when we have an injury, our quarterback goes down, Jalen Hurd goes down, there is a tremendous drop off. And I'll stand by that, man. I think if Jalen Hurd is able to stay in the game and run for 25 carries, I think he has well over 100 yards. And that's all I got for you, man. Go Vols, brother. Hey, brighter days are ahead.
Thank you, my friend. Do you guys buy that if Hurd stays in, that he, because I'll say this about Hurd, there were a couple of plays where he was running downhill and looked like he was getting comfortable. But I think the shoulder injury occurred before that, didn't it?
It did. He started getting comfortable in the second half, Tony, after he missed a few series with a shoulder injury.
It's, Reed, I really appreciate you appearing. Say a few words about RTI, Rocky Top Insider, and the way you carry your crew over there, because you carry those guys around.
Hey, those guys are killing it today.
No, you dominate those two guys, but continue.
Those guys are killing it today. Houston Crest, my good compadre, my partner in crime on the airwaves. I got a piece up right now, 5 observations from the game. Check it out, RockyTopInsider.com. We got a game story up. We got Will Muschamp's comments. I don't know if you already talked about
what a clown
that he had for Tennessee fans. I mean, he said he enjoys seeing the disappointment around him. He's going to see that in the unemployment line in a few months, right? that guy is headed toward the unemployment line. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We got a game story up, a couple game stories up, and some Bethenian pieces. We're going to have some more throughout the weekend as well. Report card coming tomorrow, which I'm sure will have a lot of debate around it. And then check us out. We're on the airwaves. Like you mentioned earlier, Tony, appreciate the shout-out. 10 to 11 a.m., bridging the gap between you and Flaney. 10 to 11 a.m. on the Rocky Top Insider app. It's free and on the site at rockytopinsider.com.
Man, you do a great job. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
You better bow your head when you say thy name, the great Reed Carringer over there at RTI, and I was just kidding. Those guys are they do amazing work there. Those are good folks. Check them out, RockyTopInsider.com. Jerry Colquitt from FEMA Quadrant 10, if you're listening, I will be coming to you. Next on our guest hotline, though, we've got to get some... You think Sean Sinclair has calmed down yet?
No. Goodness, I mean... No, that's like I said. This is another 1990 Alabama game. We'll be sitting here 20, 30 years from now, whatever, saying, "Hey, don't you remember that Florida game back in 2014 when they were so awful and that clown Will Muschamp came in here and beat us anyway?" And this is one that you'll take to the grave. It's a scar that will never heal.
You know, he wants to go ahead and hug that Ali LaForce. You can do it, Coach. You can do it, Coach. Where do they get these Barbie dolls, dude? I mean, they make no bones about it now.
Hello?
Hey, Cinco, you're live on the air on our Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. I'm Tony Basilio. Russell Smith from 94.3 FM is across from me. Cinco, have you calmed down yet?
Oh, well, I was in the car. I didn't get to see it. I've listened to every word of it on the radio. What has been the tone and tenor so far, so I don't repeat anything?
Just give me your thoughts, Cinco.
I don't see how in the world this does anything but reflect on the offensive staff and Butch Jones. That's the way. I'm not saying anyone needs to be fired or anything like that, but you and I talked earlier this week, and I said regardless of, you know, who's playing or whatever, that Tennessee would have to earn this victory. And, you know, I thought the defense gave a... Tony, let me call you right back. Let me call you back. This is an important one. Sorry.
Yeah, do your thing. Do your thing there. Cinco leaves the building. If you want to get in, 865-200-5402. We take them as we get them. And our next call, hello, you're on the Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Hey,
Rajay, what's up, buddy?
How's it going?
How you hanging, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing that, Tony. Hey, Russell. Hey, how you doing, man?
Russell and Sean are both gone now. Russell had Nature is calling Russell.
Oh, okay. Tony, yeah, too bad what happened to that. It's disappointing, you know. It is, I can't believe what happened, you know. It is really disappointing, you know. But, you know, I'm not sure what to tell you, you know. I'm not sure what to tell you. So you just, it is disappointing. It was disappointing, Tony. And Tony, I like him, but I like him, and I think hearing what I heard, some people call him so far, Tony, but the play calling, Tony, Tony, what can Mazzucchi do different, better, that gets to make the offense better, you think, Tony? You think?
What can they do, Dubsy, to make the offense better, you feel like? It's a great question Roger asked. What would you do, Dubsy?
Yeah.
I mean, develop an identity as an offense and a play call if you're Mike Bajakian. Display some common sense.
I would find me an H-back type, linebacker type, and I would use me a little fullback action going forward. I'm not kidding. With Jalen Hurd, I would give him a chance to run out of some different looking sets. That's one thing I would do. The other thing I would do is I would quit trying to throw the ball long when I should be running, and then I would quit trying to run when I should be throwing the ball downfield. Better than that, things are going really well on offense.
Yeah. You're right. I like my Zeki, he's a smart guy, but today, I couldn't tell the difference in what they call it, but I think they need to involve, you know, just need to do a little better job, I think, and see what happens. I don't know, the defense played well, I thought, and I thought the quarterback, the second team came in, I thought the defense couldn't top out, you know, I was wondering what happened with that.
Roger, I know this, for my sake, everybody else is exercising ghosts and demons today, and Tennessee has a 10-game losing streak. TCU right now is beating Oklahoma.
With one minute to go.
And who's got the ball? They've got the ball.
It's fourth and two, so.
This is really, really, really something.
Yeah, it is. And Antonio, I'm Ole Miss won.
That's a huge win. And I just texted that it's great for college football. And I've had one guy text me back, and he says, "Why is that good for college football? My Vols lost today, so why should fans be happy for Ole Miss?" Well, if you want to be a myopic goofball, be myopic. I like college football. I enjoy college football. I like seeing teams like Ole Miss do something they've never done, which is defeat a number one team. I think it's great for college football that Ole Miss beat Alabama.
Mississippi State won.
Yes, Oklahoma's great for them. Yeah, it's great. It's what this game's about. This game is about opportunity. You got to earn it on the field.
You're right. You're right, Tony. And Roger, that's why
you're my main man, and you're laughing at what, Dubsy? Go ahead.
So these Ole Miss frat boys trying to tear down these goalposts. There's some guy up there in a pair of khaki pants, cowboy boots, and a knit shirt that's torn down the back.
Looks like he was just feuding with Ric Flair back in the 70s.
Looks like Ed Ogeron just fresh out of a bar fight or something.
And by the way, Lone Nut just had a great tweet. He said that Lane Kiffin loves him from Ole Miss. That's two Lane Kiffin turds. The Ole Miss game down there when McCluster ran for about 700 yards of total offense himself. And then today's game.
They're having a heck of a time getting that.
They're not getting it down.
It must have been a long time since they've torn down a goalpost. Game's been over for, what, 15 minutes?
That's a great tweet. Put that out there. That's a great tweet, Dubsy. If you don't, I will. Ole Miss needs to have a class on attacking goalposts because it's not working too well for them at the Grove. Sean Sinclair's back with me. Sean, you were starting to say that you lay this defeat of the defense and coaching, and you're not being shy about it. Go ahead.
No, offense and the coaching. If I said defense,
I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, no. I'm punch drunk. Go ahead.
No. Let me apologize. We're trying to check in down here at the beach.
No problem. Just go ahead. I don't care. Go ahead.
I don't want people to take this the wrong way. I'm not emotional at you. You were with me the whole week, and I told you that I wasn't going to get into this because I needed to see it to believe it. This is what I truly believe. This is the SEC. If you're going to coach in the SEC, you've got to take it up to a different level. Ray Goff found that. Jim Donnan found that. Curly Hallman found that out. Houston Nutt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody has great facilities. Everybody has great fan bases. Everybody has great budgets. When you're the head coach and you're the offensive coordinator and staff in the SEC, I don't want to hear what you don't have. I want to see what you do with what you do have. And there has to be a time when you positively affect the game. And it's too much to say, wait till we have this. Look, everybody's a great coach when you have 50 All-Americans on your team. But this was a Florida team that they gave up. This team wanted to be taken out. This is a team that was doing nothing. We didn't even have them on the ropes. I mean, they were done. And I want to throw, no one said this before, I want to put this in perspective. We had three first downs within the plus 15 yard, meaning there were two first downs at or around the 15 and one at or around the 13 yard line going in. Cumulatively, we lost 11 yards, had one turnover, and got 6 points. You're not beating Vanderbilt like that. This is the SEC. And, you know, I just watched the end of the Ole Miss game. I'm not saying comparing to Hugh Freeze or whatever, but you'd have to say Arkansas, et cetera, against Texas Tech, et cetera. I have not seen Butch Jones nor any of the offensive coaching staff positively affect a game. It looked to me in this game like we were going to keep doing the things we do and hope that something happened. And it looks like what I'm hearing from them is we're going to keep doing this stuff until we got five-star players that are going to do it better. And that's not going to cut it. That's just not going to cut it. And I don't think I'm being too harsh on that, do you?
It's goes back to what Beano said. If you have a path to victory now, why not take it? Why are you going to take a square peg and jam it?
Here's my thing. Bruce Pearl was, Bruce Pearl, for whatever reason, he had a reputation. You get me to 5 minutes, I'm winning the game. Period. Now, here's the thing. I don't care if you have five senior citizen women on that offensive line, and I know I'm exaggerating. I don't care if you were starting 11 true freshmen. It's not a surprise come game time, and it wasn't a surprise 3 weeks ago. Your job is to put what you have in